God bless you. Good morning. So glad to be here. I wanted to make sure I didn't trip coming up. So I took my time getting up here, but I'm grateful to be here. Honored to be here. It is truly an honor to stand before you. God is good. And at the church that I'm in, they say all the time, and I respond all the time, God is good. Oh, okay. Some of y'all know it. God is good. God is good, right? I am just a human. I am not a robot. I'm nobody extra special. When I came in, I loved it. They had Dr. Price, right? I said, oh, man, that's me. No, I'm not a doctor yet. I don't take things that I have not earned. And I have not earned that qualification, but I have earned the qualification of trusting and following God all the way to plant a church. And so I respect those who are continuing to further that. I'm continuing some education. God is doing that right now, but I'm not there yet. But I am a pastor. I do pastor New City Church, Raytown. I've been there for 7 years. No, sorry, 8 years. We launched right before COVID. So we started out, and I came to a church that was dying. They had 6 members left, and God sent us there intentionally. And we started, and within a year, it seems like we had grown to about 107, and then COVID hit. And we went right back the other way. Anybody in here experienced that COVID church type thing? A few. Yeah, and so we went through that. And it was difficult, but God has grown us to over 200. We are ethnically, racially diverse. It's not the biggest church. It's a median, smallest size church, but it's healthy, and God is doing great things. So I solicit your prayers for us as we continue to do the work right there. We're in a tough area. When we came to the area, people told me, man, that's tough soil. Everybody that goes there, they fail. And so I got that a lot from a lot of different people. And so you would think, oh, man, that's discouraging. Do you really want to go there? But there was a calling that God had on my life to go there. And I'm not in my sermon yet, so I will pray and I will recognize my beautiful wife and kids. But I wanted to just start out by letting you know who I am and what I do. I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I love God. I've been born again years when I was young. So we're in the battle. We're in the mission. We went forward. We did not allow the negatives to stop us from planting. And now we're experiencing such a great thing. When I say all different ethnicities, we absolutely have that. I heard him singing Spanish, and I thought that was incredible. Amazing job. We haven't got that far yet, but we have a lot of Filipinos who are in our church. And so they speak Tagalog. And I tried my best to learn Tagalog some years ago because my wife is part Tagalog. I thank God for her. She speaks the language fluently as well. But you never know until you hear her deeply. When she's mad, you can hear her accent a little bit. And so, but she, I tried to learn, and she said I was learning all the bad words. So I kind of slowed down on learning. And then she said I spoke too proper. So I kind of slowed down on that. But we're thanking God for how he's blessing us with a lot of different Filipinos and with Hispanic, Spanish-speaking people. And God is just blessing us in that way to look just like our middle school or our high school. And we're grateful for that. If I was in an area where it didn't look that way, we might not have that. But God has blessed us with that. And so I'm grateful. I want to thank God for my wife and my children. Right in the back, they don't want any attention. But if you look back there in the far back, she's back there for a reason. If you hear somebody start screaming or crying, that might be my boys. And so I have 5 boys, only 4 of them are here, Princeton, Praxton, Presley, and Prome. And my eldest is 18, he's college age, his name is Price, he's Price Wright the third. So I'm Price Wright the second, he's the third. So I thank God for them, my lovely wife Erica, I thank God for her. They came with me this time and they were like, hey, can we go with you? I'm like, absolutely, I'd love for y'all to go, y'all come. So we came and brought swimming trunks. And last night I told him, hey, maybe why don't you get to swim? Maybe there's a swimming pool. And sure enough, my boys got to swim. So, hey, boys, would y'all just wave your hand? Wave your hand to people so they can see you. Yeah. If y'all would, clap it up for our boys. Clap it up for the boys. Hey, thank you. Hey, thanks. Thank you all. I will tell you that, you know, if I hear an amen or two, it'll help me finish faster. So if you're ready to go, it's a little amen or two. That's what I'm saying. Hey, hurry up and get off that stage, Pastor. Don't keep us here too long. I will let you know I am keeping track of my time. I like to be very timely. I let the Holy Spirit lead and I flow as the Holy Spirit directs. I don't let time push me too fast, but I do want to honor the time frame I've been given, and I do know my time has already started, so I'm going to make sure I'm tracking it there. But today, what I want to do is I want to go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, which is where we said we're going. And I told you, I am going to pray, and I just thank God, first of all, again, for being here. But we are on the front lines. We are in a war. I can feel the war all around me. Every week right now, we're fighting some very specific things with our families who are facing some real opposition in the spirit, where the enemy has started to come upon their children and cause them to want to wish for the end of their life. I'm not going to go into the words there, but we've been praying through that. There's a lot they're dealing with in their schools, a lot of bullying and opposition and stuff like that. And it's just a lot happening. Again, they said it was tough soil. So we're in a neighborhood that's not very responsive to the gospel, but I've been called to preach the gospel. I haven't been called to preach a message of prosperity. And mind you, I want my soul to prosper. I want to grow. I want to go forward in God and do well. And I thank God he's blessed my life as I'm faithful and intentional and consistent and driven to be an excellent servant, serving worker. I'm co-vocational. So right down the street from our local church, I serve at a place where I'm able to meet people. That's my pond that I fish from. So not only am I pastoring, and I do it full time, but on the side, I'm doing things to help continue to love on my family and to meet people. Because we don't just go to church and then go out and live a different way. We come to church, we gather together. As you are the church, we gather, we learn together, we worship together, we lift our hands, we sing incredible songs together, and we have a genuine love for each other together. As it says in 1 John, they will know you by the way you love each other, and how we love one another shows that we really know God. And so I love, but then I go down to that property and I meet people who are far from God, who a lot of time their hearts are rebellious. They have no desire to know God. They're not seeking to know him, but I have moments like I did yesterday when I walked through the property and I saw a guy holding a book and he had it in his hand like this. And he had some other stuff in his hands and I'm walking. He doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know anything that I do. It gives me a chance to remember to be humble, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He's walking with this book and I see him and I say, hey man, what you reading? I didn't know what kind of book it was. It kind of looked like a Bible, but I didn't know. Hey, what you reading? He says, oh, well, you know, it's a Bible. I was like, okay, that's cool, man. I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, that, you know, the Holy Spirit moved me a little bit. And he says, he goes further and says, hey, I just started reading. I just got into it. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I said, so where are you gathering with other people to worship? Where are you gathering? Because I know church can be a shutoff switch for some people. The minute you say church, they're ready to turn or they start acting fake. So he says, hey, I said, where do you gather right now to learn more about that, what you're reading? So I know where. I mean, look, you should come right down the street. There's a gathering right down the street you should come to. I get to spend day after day being intentional to pray. God, send me to the people who really need you. So when I hear your president say, just yesterday, the verse was mentioned but not preached on, I had no clue what they talked about yesterday. Me and Dean Dixon, Mr. Dixon, we talked about the fact that the last time the preachers came and preached the same verse and they didn't know from different perspectives. I thought that was incredible. And I said, Lord, I have no clue what was preached yesterday, but I want to be faithful. And so to know it wasn't preached on, but what God gave me as I was coming here was this Isaiah 6, send me and I'll go. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I feel called and sent to do the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. I feel called to preach and proclaim the gospel in places that maybe I didn't grow up in. Maybe I'm not comfortable, or maybe I was comfortable in this place and I feel called to this place because nobody goes there. Today, real quickly and briefly, I'm going to spend time talking to you about that. So let's pray. We're going to pray and I'm going to read from the scripture, expound on the scripture, and really dive deep into what the heart of the text is saying. And I hope you will grasp from this text the nuggets that will help you to go forward and live the way that God has commanded and called for us to live. Because he hasn't called us just to read and soak up knowledge. He's called us to take action. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. One step at a time, we live from our overflow of what we received from the Holy Spirit of God. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, your mercy, your sovereign love, your hand of direction. Lord, you just continue doing incredible things. Here I stand before this wonderful bunch of students, and leaders, and I'm in awe of where you've led me yet again. Some may say you shouldn't be on that stage. You're not qualified in the right way. But Lord, you have qualified me to be exactly where I am at this moment to speak truth to your children. And to those that don't know you, those who have not embraced you, God, I pray today they would hear clearly the message that will bring them redemption. I pray they would understand the seriousness of the call to the battlefield and the mission field. As you said in Ephesians 6, the battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So today, God, feed them your word and your truth. Let this bread of life come alive in their hearts, in their minds. I pray that you would draw them near to you. As you say in John 6:44, no one comes to you, Father, unless you draw them. So today, draw these young ones and elders and those who may have been in the word but haven't grasped it, draw them to yourself. Holy Spirit of God, use me the way that you choose. Give you praise now. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say amen. Let the students say amen. Remember, the amens get us moving. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding, y'all. We're not here to joke. So let's go to the verse. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. with missions in mind, but keeping the context key, because the context is the key. We don't want to get outside of the context of what God has given us here. We don't want to take this scripture and act as if I'm Isaiah or that I'm the one who this is talking about. This is not talking about me. Sorry, this is not talking about you. As a matter of fact, it's not written to you, but it's absolutely for your benefit. As Timothy says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is beneficial for us. So we embrace this truth, something I'm sure that you all already know. Hopefully you will hear confirmations, maybe nothing new, because you have great staff and teachers here from what I've studied and researched. And so hopefully most of this is a confirmation, but I pray the Holy Spirit ignites your hearts as we read about what happens here in this passage. Isaiah 6 and 8, it says this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Has anybody said in their heart, "Send me"? Can I get a show of hands? I see a few. Courageously, I'm gonna ask one more time. Has anybody said in your heart, in the depth of your heart, "Lord, send me"? I was young when I first said it. "Lord, send me, send me." And it was this verse here that sparked that passion. I didn't understand context. I didn't know how to break down the scripture properly and properly expound on the text and divide it rightly, but I understood that "sent me" was simple. God, send me and I'll go. I'm willing, I'm ready, I was young. "I want more patience, Lord. I want more joy." I was praying all these prayers, just not casually, it was intentionally. I wanted to know, God, send me. I don't know it all, but I'm ready. I was ready to walk the walk, talk the talk, and do what God had called me to do, but I was new to the faith and I had some growing to do. So this scripture here is Isaiah is speaking and talking out from what he's seeing. It's a majestic scene. If you go back to verse 1 down to verse 7, you see something happening. Actually, verse 6, you see a majestic scene. This scene for me is utilized as I pray and use my sanctified imagination to come into the place of God where I'm on my knees or I'm prostrate or in my heart. Maybe I'm walking around work, but I picture myself in the presence of Almighty God. And I love to use this passage right here. I come back to this passage right here. Well, Pastor, what does this say? What's the context of this? If you go to verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died," that king who served for 52 to 56 years, this great king who did great things, but he had pride, and pride really gripped his heart. He was hard in his heart, and he didn't always do what he was supposed to do, but he was pretty consistent, 52 years. He was stable, he was there, but he didn't have the greatest of legacies. King Uzziah died. He says this, Isaiah says, "And I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." I personally love how Francis Chan talks about this. Not everybody likes him, but I love the way he talks about it. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But it talks about how it says in the next verse, "His high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." I'm thinking about this in my intimate moments of prayer. As I use my imagination that God has given me to picture, I don't need to see God. I believe in God, whether I've seen him or not. His word says, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." I believe in him already. But as I'm standing and praying, I think through, I'm in the presence of God. God is this majestic, powerful being. And I think about the scripture here. "I saw him high and lifted up. Above him stood the seraphim," in verse 2. "Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the earth is full of his glory.' The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." This powerful scene here captures my heart. This is the God we serve. We sometimes separate this Old Testament from the New Testament in who we serve, and we mess up the person of the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll mix that and become a heretic. We remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are the three persons, right, of the Godhead, and we think through the fact that Jesus came in the flesh being the Word of God. But if you look at that word here, Lord, in all caps, we recognize that this is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament, pointing us forward. We embrace the power of what we're seeing, that we need to revere, have this reverence for our Lord Jesus who walked with us. He wasn't just some hippie who shook his hair and told good things. He's the Lord God who walked among us. When I speak to the people in my church, I have to relay the message to them that yes, we love the words of Jesus. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's gracious, but he's also the just judge who will return in the end to judge the world. And the wrath of God will be poured out, but for children of God, the children of God, we don't have any worries about that because he didn't come to condemn us. But he came to bring life for us. And it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you keep going, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. And we thank God for that gift, for that sacrifice. And we think about this passage and we say, oh my goodness, that's the God I serve. When I'm walking around that property, seeing people, and I have the mind to say, I'm out here fishing. I'm fishing. And I'm not manipulating people. I'm saying, Lord, use me to win people to yourself. I'm fishing. That's my pond that I go to. Yes, Sunday mornings is the gathering where I'm encouraged, I'm inspired, I'm equipped, I'm challenged, I'm changed. But when I go out to the streets, I'm not going out there to live a different experience. I'm going out there to share the truth of the gospel with everybody that I meet because it truly has transformed me. If you have not been changed by the gospel, here's a few reasons. One, doubt, disbelief, and the seeds of discord that have been planted by the enemy in your heart and your mind. Every one of us has a chance here to embrace God's truth. You don't know me. You don't know my background. You don't know my closet. Thank God for my wife that has my passwords and she knows everything about my life. But you have to take the words I say here and say, man, what is this guy standing on? I'm standing on the truth of God's word, the conviction of what Jesus has done. Who is the one who's done all things well according to the word? Jesus. So when I read this, and I see the power of Jesus, the power and the majesty of my God, I'm in awe and I have a reverence for God. So when he says, hey, who will go? And I say, send me. It's coming from a place of respect and love and awe at the majestic glory of my King as I represent and recognize this powerful point here. Verse 5 says, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I added a couple words here concerning the people that he would go to and the people he was a part of, Judah, the tribe of Judah, the Israelites. They were rebellious and hard-hearted. Again, this is not written to you, but it's for your benefit. Some of you all sitting in this room right now are rebellious and hard-hearted. You continue to walk your way in the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to hear. The Holy Spirit of God is knocking at your heart. I want to come in. And some of you all continue to reject the Lord. But on that great day when Jesus returns with all of his heavenly hosts, and we can sense and feel, it seems like we're coming nearer to the end and to God one day as 1,000 years. So I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. No one knows the time of the hour when the sun will return. But you don't know if tomorrow you're even going to wake up. And you live here in this school, like, I'm just coming to get an education. I need nothing else. But the Son of God has sent you here in this room today to hear this message clear. Tomorrow is not promised. Yes, you're young. But I had a young lady, 16, sit right in the front row of my church. Whether she was genuinely walking with Christ or not, I'm not sure. She was with us and she served and she heard the gospel Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Wonderful young lady who was connected to a family who served and sung and doing great things and excited about her future. Life was but a mist. Not going to tell you the heart and the reason and what happened, but her life was extinguished in this way. And she's not here to speak the experience. She's a greater theologian than I am in the sense that she sees things that I don't see right now. She's not here in this fleshly body anymore. When I think about that, I'm reminded, my heart quivers to know, yeah, I'm here to speak about missions, but the mission is for you to get the heart of the gospel. The Bible makes it clear in Acts that God sends us and sets the destination of our boundaries and our dwelling places that we may seek out and reach out for him and find him. So reminding us, he's not far from any of us. If you're sitting in this room, God's not far from you, and he wants you to reach out. And I had a few hands went up and said, I feel called. So some of you have already felt the Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart, but have you said yes? Saying yes takes courage. Saying yes to this powerful, incredible God that we serve takes courage to say, yes, I will, Lord. Whether you're a teacher or a student, no one can run from the truth that we all have to respond to what God has given us in his Son. And it is the greatest gift. We can't earn our salvation. If I asked for a show of hands, which I won't, if I asked how many of you all in this room have sinned, everyone in this room, hopefully, everyone's hand would go up. I've sinned. I'd make it clear because maybe you don't understand the definition of sin. I say, how many people in this room have ever told a lie? I think most hands would probably go up. And to the one hand that wouldn't, I wouldn't call you out, but I'd probably jokingly say, yo, you lying, you just lied right there. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room, nobody's exempt. But God, in his sovereign grace and mercy, has made a way for us. He's covered us, and we see it right here as we keep reading in this passage. We see what God's going to do as we look forward to what Christ is going to do, knowing the whole plan, remembering that Jesus is the Word of God, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 of John, it says, then the Word put on flesh and came and dwelt among us. So I read this and I remember this is the Lord who will come in the New Testament and stand before us and live the life experience that none of us could. Die for our sins, raise out of the grave, give us all the words and statements and teachings and all the things we needed to live and to grow. And when we embrace his truth, our lives are changed. But this is what it says. This is what I look forward to. It says, verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. This powerful truth here is such a beautiful nugget for me to look forward knowing this same God would come in flesh to atone for my sins, my failures, my faults, my fallacies, my mistakes, my downfalls. Like my little son, my little baby up there, actually my 18-year-old when he was little, he would walk and run. We would go on a walk together, right? Because I'm his father, his earthly dad, his earthly father. We'd walk together. We'd be in the neighborhood just walking. We'd be walking around and I would let him go just to walk. And he would walk. And if I asked my little one to come down here, he'd show you. He'd just walk. Actually, he'd probably stand here and put his head down because he'd get a little scared. But he would walk and he would run away from me. And there was mud puddles all throughout the parking lot. He would run and jump as high as he could and splash in the mud puddle. And the mud would go all over his clothes. And after he did that once, I was a little mistake. Then he did it again. And eventually I began to say, why in the world are you doing that? And I got ready to get upset. He's getting his clothes dirty, his shoes dirty. And the Holy Spirit of God did not speak from the clouds, but this soft whisper and push dry from inside, reminding me, you too. Do the same thing. Often you run towards the mud puddles of life and jump in those when I've called you to holiness and righteous living. Whether it's out of ignorance that you do it, or whether it's intentional that you run towards things that I've told you not to, but you also have fallen short of the glory of God. And I had to correct myself. And the grace and the mercy of God, which we see here, grace and mercy of God to a God who did not deserve to be in the presence of God, he sees God come down, touch those tongs and say, now I've clarified your guilt. Atone for you. And then he gives them a message here, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And I'm adding inflections that don't exist in the text. Maybe he didn't say it that way, so I want to make it very clear. He says, here I am, send me. I asked earlier some of you all who felt called and driven to say, here I am, send me. And some of you all raised your hands. Don't lose that confidence in God. Hear what I said. The confidence is not in you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but also we can't do it in ourselves. But Jesus has made a way, and we thank him for that. We worship. We lift our hands. As he was singing, man, I was worshiping. I might not have had my hands up, but I was worshiping in my heart because those songs that we sing, which usually bring me to tears here, I really embrace them. And I love the spirit that music is a language that anyone in the world can understand because when you're singing R&B or songs that lead towards lust and sexuality or even country music or whatever, there's a spirit associated with what we're doing there. When we sing songs that are to God, there's a spirit associated to it and we worship our God. We lift our hands, say, God, I love you. I thank you for what you've done for me, that you've atoned for my sins, that you've purified my heart. No, I don't deserve your grace, but thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for covering me and thank you that I'm your child. When I look at my son going to the mud puddles, I'm reminded, God is my good father. He loves me. He says, I will complete the good work that I begin in you. Does this mean it's okay to go sin? Absolutely not. We must practice righteousness. Must practice holy living. Turn our attention to God and one step at a time. But we don't trust ourselves that we can do it. We trust the Holy Spirit of God to help us in our practices, to grow in where God wants to direct us. As we say, send me. I'll go. Here I am, send me. And he said, go and say this to people. The people here we're talking to were the tribe of Judah, the Israelites. And what did I say? They were hard-headed, stiff-necked. They would not stop going towards the things that they wanted. They were wicked-hearted. They just would ignore what God said in his word. They would ignore the word of God. They would ignore the powerful moments they saw of God and just keep going down the paths they desired. Reminds me of that mud puddle story. But in some ways, even worse. But again, all sin is sin. So when I think of this, I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you have a Bible, you could turn there. It's not going to be on the screen, but I will read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 gets us in the pit of where are we going when we say yes? When we say yes, Lord, I will go. Send me. God sends us to the field. When I said yes years ago, God started a process of sanctification, growth, and helping me to go forward towards his ultimate goal, which was pastoring, planting, being his child, living holy, walking righteously, all those things tied together. But most importantly, submitting to him in his will to preach the gospel in a thriving and growing church that was once dead, in an area that people said, that's tough soil, nobody can do it. But we know God can do anything. And God has done the work to change. But it says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. I'm not just looking to get people saved in this call, in this mission, in this drawing of God to me where I said, yes, Lord, I will. I'm not just looking to, oh, get you saved and all right, go on about your merry way. I want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that happens with intentionality and intensity. God has graced me with a powerful way to pursue making disciples one step at a time by saying, yes, God, I will go and be courageous to speak clearly to these people who need the gospel. But then also, God, I will walk with them as they journey. And I tell you, sometimes that's annoying. Has anybody in here ever had a friend? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure you've had a friend, a family member, or somebody you love who's just super annoying to you. When I'm in church and our neighbors are sitting by each other, I tell them, hey, if you got that friend or that family, don't say amen because they might think you're talking about them. But there's some people that you disciple that really just can just drive you crazy because you're like, man, I'm trying to tell you, stop doing this. I tried to tell you, stop going after that relationship. I tried to tell you to hold off. You're going to drive yourself towards destruction, but they won't listen. Think of Jesus walking with those disciples for even those 3 years. To have someone like Judas who's right there who nobody knows that in his heart he has wickedness planned. He's just right there alone with everybody else. There's people here who you would never know, have no desire to serve God. They're just here. But sometimes those same ones God saves and grabs and calls them to the mission field as well. No one is a throwout. Until the day you stop breathing, you got a chance to be redeemed. I don't care what you've done, how dirty you are. If you are breathing, you have a chance. But man, sometimes the people I'm discipling drive me crazy. Because I'm saying if you just stop, God wants to bless your life from the inside out. He wants to change your heart, your mind. He wants to stop you from the ways of destruction. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says, the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. The way is broad that leads to destruction. There's many who go that way. So reading Isaiah and embracing the truth. And I love Isaiah. Isaiah is the scroll that when you go and do the manuscript evidence to find out why do we stand on the Bible as our ultimate source of authority? Why is this book our ultimate source of authority? Why do we believe this? Why do we trust in this word? I love Isaiah because as they have unearthed different manuscripts, Isaiah is one of the only books that actually has the full manuscript evidence. A little bit of damage here and there on the particles on the board, but it actually is a full book. But I also love that Jesus chose Isaiah to read in the synagogue. When he opened the scroll, he read from Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It tells us that he read from the scroll of Isaiah. So I look at this passage and I don't just see it as a passing historic document. The Lord himself reads from this specific passage. And we, not the one I read today, but from Isaiah. He reads from this. And we benefit by embracing what Jesus has affirmed. When I look at the Old Testament, I don't have to guess if it's real. I don't have to guess if the Old Testament is something I should embrace or is it real or not. No, Jesus affirmed the Old Testament. The apostles and prophets, the prophets and the apostles write about Jesus. I can know the whole book that I have has been affirmed by God himself and I embrace this truth. And I move forward serving God with a yes on my lips. I'm just about done. I keep a yes on my lips for the things that God is calling me towards. I have a no on my lips for things that are not in the will of God. And how do I know the will of God? How do you learn the will of God? It's not a guessing game. God has given us his instructions. But when will you pick it up and read it? Oh, Pastor, I can't read. I made it to college, but I don't know how to read just yet. There's audiobooks. You can get the whole Bible on YouTube for free. Bible.com, YouVersion, you can get the Bible. You can read it audio for free. There's no excuse. But we're drawn towards darkness. We love it. We run from the things that will turn our lives around and bless us. But God says, today, God is speaking to you clearly. Not because I'm God, I'm Christ right, I'm a human. I'm saved by grace, I have the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, speak as if you're speaking the direct oracles of God. As I speak to you today, God is trying to wake you up. Today you have a chance to change. It doesn't have to start tomorrow, it can start right now. When Jesus returns on that great day, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. He will come with a myriad of angels. And those who are in him will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The judgment will happen. Those who are in Christ, you are good. I don't want to talk about once saved, always saved. We don't do that. But have you been born again? In order to be saved, you must be born again. To be born again, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go to Romans 9:10 and you'll see it. I'm not going to go there now. I want you to go there and read. When you believe and you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus, then you shall be saved, born again. And Jesus makes it clear, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless you have been born again. The Bible never says you must be born again and again and again and again. The Bible says you must be born again. So today, students, ensure yourself that you have been born again, saved by the grace of God, responding to the message of God that says, will you go? I want you to say, yes, Lord, I will go. If you've never received Jesus, today is the day for you to change for time and eternity. Some of y'all feel that inkling of God saying, come, I got something powerful for you. Take the step. You've been called. You've been chosen. God is speaking clearly to your heart right now. Don't miss the opportunity to embrace this truth. Know that this is our ultimate source of authority. Know that the words God speaks here are beneficial for you. And I pray that you will receive all that God has, and that you will keep a heart posture that says, Lord, send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. I pray you got something out of today that will bless you. I am honored to be here. I'm grateful for this chance, and I pray to something that the Holy Spirit has spoken is be clear to you, and that you will respond to the send me, I'll go. God, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you for this opportunity and for my wonderful family that came with me, for our president here, for the dean, for Sister Stephanie. Thank you for everyone. I just give you praise, God, because you are good. And if somebody's life has changed, whether somebody's life has changed or not, God, I've been faithful. So I thank you for giving me a chance to be faithful. Speak to the hearts of your people. Push them forward to receive you, Lord. Let this be the day of salvation for those who need to respond. Let this be a day of confirmation for those who need to hear. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say. Amen. Thank you all.